The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it. Tokers and Tokettes, welcome. We made it to the weekend. It is Friday, April 26, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Boy, I'm just boiling mad still about the Idaho 3, and I've got some breaking news for you. This Monday, we are going to be having a press conference at the state capitol in Boise, Idaho, with Lindsey Reinhart and Sarah Frank from Moms for Marijuana. We're going to get all the activists we can in the Idaho area to be there, including yours truly. I am going to make the trek across the state of Oregon back to my homeland of Idaho, and we'll be streaming it live for you here, right here on 420radio.org. Boy, they messed with the wrong activists. They took the kids away from my friends, and we're not going to stand for it. So thanks for your support. Thanks for contributing to 420 Radio so I can afford the gas. We really appreciate it. On today's show, all sorts of interesting things. Of course, we got our 420 Radio news, and in the news today, all sorts of interesting headlines. Tallahassee, Florida, they've got that bong bill. They're banning bongs in Florida. We'll talk about that. Michigan's AG doesn't like the idea of decriminalizing. A Washington judge orders the cops to give back some medical marijuana. And, oh, on the technology side, a new breathalyzer can detect marijuana, cocaine, and heroin. We'll talk about that right after this first break. Then we'll have some time to go behind the headlines. And for this, I've got a video that was forwarded to me, and we're going to kind of watch it together. I actually haven't seen it yet, but it's called High on the Job. And apparently some reporter, some idiot reporter, went and ate too many medibles while he was on assignment. And we're going to take a look at that and probably have a few laughs while we're at it. Also on today's show, it's Rockin' Friday. Herb Thrasher will be calling in. He's got music from the Cody Foster Army to bring to us tonight. So we'll talk about that. Get prepared for the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific. 2 hours of rock, metal, and alternative country. Plus, we'll be talking a little bit about the NFL draft. So we'll get to that. And a bit of a tribute to George Jones, who passed away today. The country legend died at age 81. On today's show as well, we're going to be doing our regular High Times preview, but instead of going to the phone lines and talking to the folks at High Times, I figured we'd go back a weekend and take a look at the High Times U.S. Cannabis Cup. Our good friend and forum administrator, Gray Wolf, did some video interviews and some coverage. We're going to play that for you at the bottom of the hour, so check that out. Tim Martin makes an appearance as well. And at the end of the show, the Obama administration has released their Office of National Drug Control Policy budget strategy, the drug strategy for 2013. It's more of the same. We're going to poke it with a stick and see what shakes out. All that and more coming up on the Russ Belville Show. Thanks for joining us. Be right back after this.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com. This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, April 26, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Decriminalize marijuana. Michigan Attorney General Bill Shute doesn't want to go down that road. From MichiganLive.com. Michigan Attorney General Bill Shute, the state's top law enforcement officer, is opposed to proposed legislation that would decriminalize the possession of small amounts of marijuana. Quote, we should not go down this road of legalizing drugs, Shute told Lansing television station WILX this week. It exposes young kids, children, to even more potent drugs use, and I think that's not good for the future, end quote. House Bill 4623, introduced Wednesday by Democratic State Representative Jeff Irwin of Ann Arbor, would not legalize marijuana use in Michigan, but it would reduce the penalties for those caught with 1 ounce or less of the drug. Instead of a misdemeanor punishable by up to 1 year in jail, small-time possession would result in a civil infraction punishable by a fine of up to $25 for a first offense, $50 for a second offense, and $100 for subsequent offenses. A recent bill co-sponsored by Republican U.S. Representative Justin Amash of Michigan, titled the Respect State Marijuana Laws Act of 2013, would ensure that the federal government does not prosecute residents acting in accordance with state laws. New breathalyzer can detect marijuana, cocaine, and heroin from U.S. News and World Report. Police might soon be able to detect more than just alcohol on their breathing test devices. A new Swedish-designed device can detect 12 different controlled substances, including methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin, morphine, and marijuana. Though most states have laws against driving under the influence of drugs, police have had no easy way of testing it on the road, so a blood or urine sample has been necessary to charge offenders. In a study published in the Journal of Breath Research Thursday, Olaf Beck of Sweden's Karolinska Institute detected drugs on the breath of 47 patients at a drug addiction emergency clinic. The breathalyzer test was able to correctly detect drug use in 87% of cases. The test was equally as accurate as blood and urine tests, according to the study. Beck said future studies could be used to correlate breath concentrations of drugs with concentrations in urine and blood. He suggested that a breath test could be given at the scene and then confirmed with a blood test later. Bill outlawing marijuana pipes headed to Florida governor from MiamiHerald.com. Florida lawmakers have wrapped up work on legislation aimed at outlawing the sale of marijuana pipes known as bongs. The Senate passed the bill, HB 49, on a 31-2 vote Friday. The measure now goes to Governor Rick Scott for his consideration. State law currently allows certain retailers to sell the pipes. Any sale of marijuana pipes would be a first-degree misdemeanor if the bill becomes law. Second and subsequent violations would jump to a third-degree felony. Supporters say the bill sends a message against illegal drug use by making the pipes inaccessible at stores that are often close to schools. Senator Jeff Clements, Democrat of Lake Worth, voted against the bill. He argued that marijuana isn't a dangerous drug and should be allowed under the strict regulation. House Bill 49 does not ban duct tape, apples, honey bears, 2-liter bottles, Bic pens, or any of a number of things people can make bongs with. Washington judge tells police to return marijuana seized in traffic stop or else, from FoxNews.com. Police in Washington may soon find themselves in real trouble if they ignore a judge's order to return marijuana they seized from a man during a traffic stop. Municipal Court Judge Jack Emery told Tacoma police on Thursday to return the drug to Joseph L. Robertson within 7 days, or they could be found in contempt. The judge first ordered police to return the drug on February 28th, but they have refused.
It was seized in May when an officer pulled over the Tacoma man for speeding. He was cited for driving without a license and misdemeanor marijuana possession. Prosecutors dismissed the drug charge in December after state voters decided to legalize small amounts of marijuana. Robertson then asked for his pot back and provided proof of medical marijuana authorization. And this Monday, we will be streaming live a press conference from the state capitol in Boise, Idaho. It will begin at 1 o'clock Pacific time, 2 o'clock Mountain time. We'll be covering the plight of the Idaho 3, Lindsay and Josh Reinhart and Sarah Caldwell, their fight to get their kids back, and the fight for medical marijuana in one of America's reddest states. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, April 26, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at a new video of a reporter who got too high on the job. This is 420radio.org. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here. Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And speaking of Herb Thrasher, some of the other places you'll see Herb Thrasher coming up, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, is the Global Cannabis March. May the 4th, Star Wars Day, we'll be gathering at Portland's Pioneer Courthouse Square. There'll be a stage. We'll have a PA. We'll be streaming live. We'll have the megaphones to lead the march. It's going to be a great time. Herb Age will be there, Oregon Normal, Moms for Marijuana, National Cannabis Coalition, and you. If you can't find your own city's march, you can tune in to ours, but your first assignment is to find your own city's march and participate in it. It's only because I participated in my march 8 years ago that led me to where I am today, to being a part of this marijuana movement. Get on board. It's time to fight for your freedom. All right, for behind the headlines today, we've got this video that was sent to me. It came via Huffington Post, I believe, and apparently it's of a reporter who got a little too high on the job and overdosed a bit on medibles. I hope you'll enjoy it. This will be my first time watching it, too, so let's take a look.
I just didn't think twice about the food, even though she had told us that there were food samples prepared with really high-powered marijuana, high THC marijuana.
Yes.
It's probably fair to say that over the last few years, I've become a pot reporter. In 2010, the marijuana marketplace was sort of exploding in California. You had people coming out of the shadows who had been growing or selling for years illegal, and all of a sudden they had websites, they were operating publicly. All of a sudden, this kind of seemed like a mainstream industry. At the same time, we were talking to confidential informants, trying to dig in on the dark side of the trade, talking to Mexicans who might have links to drug gangs across the border. You saw this sort of secretive world emerging, and you could shine a little bit of light on it. In Los Angeles, we came across a woman who had been an illegal pot dealer, but who's now really trying to be a businesswoman. She let us follow her as she was doing her thing, running a medical marijuana delivery service. She's very well organized, carries a small suitcase with her samples in it. She delivered to a teacher who was on lunch break in the back of a Starbucks parking lot. She went to a production company where she delivered to a film editor there. The sort of climax to our visit was these Sunday brunches she would have at her house in West LA. Men and women came with their kids in strollers, a lot of young professional types. There was music, football game on TV, food and desserts. And then in a rear cottage, there were bongs and joints and all sorts of samples. In her house, she would have a doctor who was available for consultation in a sort of side home office. People would come in, fill out their medical marijuana forms, spend a few minutes with the doctor, and they would get their recommendations. The woman would offer to supply these people with their now medical marijuana. It was all one-stop shopping. It was a brunch with pot.
And that's a good thing.
She had said that some of the desserts were laced with medical marijuana and some weren't. And I didn't really pay close attention to that. Oh, I was busy capturing this remarkable scene. So I ate the brownies.
Yeah.
I was in a little bit of a hurry, had to catch my flight back to San Francisco. So I grabbed my gear, hopped in a cab, went straight to the airport, check in and all that. And when I got to the terminal, you know, LAX is a rather large airport.
Oh, yeah.
That's when
I started getting this dreamlike feeling that I would, like, I wasn't
in who is this?
The present universe.
Why is
and
this
I knew immediately that something had gone wrong.
Oh, no.
And it hits me.
This is the best way to fly, if you ask
me. I am, like, totally stoned.
That's savage, dude.
I'm not going to get really stoned. This is just going to end that out. Oh, my God. It's hitting me, and I'm going further and further and further into this other world.
And then
I started feeling these extreme sensations of anxiety. I wanted to get on my flight. I wanted to get back to San Francisco. So I tried to control my feelings. And I actually got into the airplane. The blinking lights, the white paint, the electronica music. I had never flown Virgin American before this trip. There was no one sitting on either side of me, and I kept looking out the window thinking, well, if I can just keep looking out the window, I'll be okay.
Yeah, right.
And then William Shatner's on the wing.
I'm not okay. What if I freak out mid-flight?
Yeah, that's the best thing to do.
And, you know, they have to alert Homeland Security. And think of the headlines. Pot reporter overdoses on his own medicine or something like that. I got to get out of this plane.
Let's get the Puffington.
I said I was not feeling well. Got back into the terminal and found an obscure spot and really literally crumpled up into a ball and tried to sleep. But it was just coming at me and coming at me the high. So I just didn't know if I was going to come back from this place.
I've never been that happy before in my life.
Finally, I called my wife, and she told me to just stay where I was until I felt better. I was probably there for about 4 hours before I could even think about booking another flight. It was only after that, some days later, that I was talking to some people I know who are in the medical marijuana business, and they said, look, for our patients who use pot all the time, we tell them to take half a brownie or a quarter of a brownie and wait 2 hours and see what happens.
Exactly.
Oh, he asked
I
after
had eaten
he
two marijuana brownies.
Oh,
high potency pot brownies. Oh. So I think, you know, in a funny way that this experience got me to think a little bit harder about pot.
To learn something.
If I were a 16-year-old kid and ate two of these brownies, where would it lead me if I were driving a vehicle? Things like that. Medical marijuana supporters say it should be, you know, closely regulated. Right now, it's not.
Yeah.
The pot today, I feel, is very different from the pot, you know, 20 or 30 years ago when I was a kid. So this was 2 years ago. I've gone on to continue to cover the pot world. But I have to say, every time I smell a joint, I smell pot, you know, which is lots of places in the Bay Area, I sort of still have that slight little pulse.
Oh, I got to cut this off because here's a guy who's who hasn't smoked pot in 20 years, and he's complaining that now he tried it and took two brownies, that the pot is so much worse and so much terrible these days. Sorry, guy, not going to fly for us. That's like saying, you know, back in the day, I used to drink a whole lot of beers. It's been 20 years since I drank beers. And so now I've decided to butt chug a couple shots of Bacardi 151. Not going to work, pal. Oh, how sad. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come right back, we'll have Herb Thrasher on the line. It's Friday. Can't quite talk. It's the jelly bean. I think the jelly bean has affected me. We'll be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
It's quite simple. I'm a very nasty drunk. I get mean. I get loud. I'll tell your deepest, darkest secrets to a stranger, and I'll puke on your shoes. So, if that's the kind of behavior that this culture promotes, you know, fuck it.
Your one-room schoolhouse of choice. Your one-stop freedom shop. It's the Libra Lounge.
Sundays at 3, right?
Hey everybody, welcome. It's Danny Danko from High Times Magazine, and I'm here with Mr. Kyle Cushman, and we're talking about integrated pest management. Now Kyle, I see you're using these yellow sticky traps. What's the purpose of those?
It is just a good part of routine IPM, integrated pest management, along with neem oil, regular spraying of neem oil every second or third day. And it's just good to keep down to prevent an infestation before it happens.
Okay.
So it's kind of like that canary in the coal mine thing where it'll let you know ahead of time by seeing how many bugs there if you need to employ something stronger, if you're going to need to use biological controls or some chemical insecticides.
Wow, cool. And also I'd like people to know the reason these sticky traps are yellow is that the bugs are attracted to that color. It's the color of a dying leaf, which makes a welcome home for them. So always remove any yellowing leaves so as not to create a home for pests.
Yes. Yellow Amato leaves. Go away.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Kyle. And this has been a lesson in integrated pest management.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together. So let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes. The best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, he's made of metal and marijuana. It's Herb Thrasher on the line. How you doing, Herb?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Great Friday, despite all the terrible news coming out of Idaho.
Yeah, but we got good news from the draft. I see Alabama went 9-10-11.
Yeah, that was great news, man. Definitely kind of top three there. Those were our top three guys, and they went very well. And as you said, 9-10-11. Still have one sitting on the board that we're expecting to go in the next few selections. I was hoping he was going to be a first-rounder, but just didn't happen. Excited for all the kids that made the first round, and we'll definitely have some updates and talk a lot more detail of that tonight in the second hour of Herb Thrasher Flower Hour.
That's right. We start at 8 o'clock, Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. The sport starts at 9. That's all Pacific time. Now, I've got the picture up on the screen of the Cody Foster Army. Looks like a rockin' three-piece band. What's with the little girl in the front? What's going on here?
Dude, man, this dude is a bad dude right here, man. This is the Cody Foster Army, and I will find out about the little girl. I'm actually been in contact with these guys, and I'll find out the details, and we'll give the details of that tonight. But, yeah, that's a great picture, man. I love that picture and had to share it. He posted that not too long ago and had to share it, but Cody Foster Armor, three-piece guy. These guys are out of Tacoma, have a lot of shows in Seattle, but they're based out of Tacoma. And the three of these guys, Cody, Dave, and David, man, between them, they have like 75 years of experience in the music industry. They've played in all kinds of bands and have kind of settled into this Cody Foster Army. And if you guys will remember Gypsy Hawk, who we've had on the show many times, play them all the time, they actually opened for Gypsy Hawk a couple weeks ago in Washington. And so they've been getting some really good gigs. They have a great little EP out now. It's got a bunch of great songs on it. You guys need to check out all their stuff. But one of the coolest things they have going is they have a comic book out also. And you guys can definitely check this out, man. You can get a digital copy or you can get full print copy. But it's a 42-page independently released comic book. And it's kind of about them and their alter ego and their exploits. And so they bring a fun element to the music. I wouldn't say comedy, but they enjoy comedy. And if you go to their shows, you know, Darth Vader might show up on the stage and have a sword fight with Cody or something, you know. So they just have a lot of cool things going. The song we're going to hear right now is Kick Rocks. And then tonight we'll do a double shot, but we have a great cover song that they did from Bob Marley, and it's Iron Lion Zion. And it's really amazing. So you guys definitely check out Cody Foster Army. They're badasses. All you got to do is type that in, and you'll find their Facebook page, their website, and just support these guys, support music. They're kind of been talked about as being in a stoner core. There's all kinds of genres in the music, and they have a stoner feel, a little bit of a core, and so you guys will hear that. Turn it up. Definitely join us tonight at 8 o'clock. We have a great show. We're going to go over all kinds of events from 420. Got tons and tons of pictures. Hour two, if you need any growing tips, want to learn about oil, just see some cool kids. We've got the kids from Jesse James Gardens. They're going to be in studio hour two. We'll talk to them after sports and have a great time. So you guys, turn it up. Support Idaho Free. Be safe. See you on the other side.
All right, Cody Foster Army, Kick Rocks. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I watch MTV all the time. They have the Rock Against Drug commercials, that whole campaign. These guys have, like, you know, slid into fucking school buses and killed 20 children. Yeah. Rather than a facial license, they made a public service announcement. Yeah, no shit. Yeah. I love these guys that are like, hello, listen, don't get caught with drugs or you'll have to do a commercial just like this one. I think I found the message. The message is don't get caught. Rock Against Drugs. What a fucking name. Somebody was high when they came up with this title. Yeah. It's like Christians Against Christ. Rock created drugs. What are they talking about? They go together, folks.
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we was just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
Skip the session started because it's 420.
Since 1974, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the cannabis community. The Russ Belville Show visits with West Coast editor Dave Bienenstock for a look forward to the next issue and the next marijuana events in our High Times preview.
Oh, well, this isn't actually so much a High Times preview as a High Times review. We're looking back to April 21st and 22nd, the High Times first U.S. Cannabis Cup in Denver, Colorado. And I got to extend big thanks to all our volunteers that helped out at the booth. We had so much fun. And gosh, there were so many people. It's getting to the point now where there's so many people that we know that are part of the family now that even when I'm there at the event, I don't get enough time to spend with all of them that I'd like to. Like, I mean, I think I saw Big Daddy Fink twice at the whole time, you know, and he was doing something, I was doing something. We never got a chance to really hang out like I wanted to. But Rolla J, I mean, we hung out for a little bit, but not as much as I'd like. But, you know, that's part of the fun of this is that we get to see so many people and such a family reunion. And so I couldn't do it without all of you. I know I'm so busy and I'm working so hard and it's kind of tough to break through to me, but you really, you are everything to me. The listeners, the volunteers, the supporters, the reformers, thank you so much. And most of all, thanks in this particular segment goes out to Grey Wolf out there, our forum moderator, one of our moderators in the chat room. I gave him the video camera and said, have at it, go find some stuff to shoot. So here's some of it. Starting with me talking to a dude from Kansas. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm doing really good, man. 42 years old, and I'm at the first legal cannabis cup.
So awesome. Where are you from?
I'm from Kansas. I moved here.
Wow.
I moved here in July just to be part of the end of the movement because I knew it was going to go, and it did.
Yeah, it did.
And amazing. I went with the nautical scene on my tattoo because they had to bring it across the ocean.
Well, that's what we were talking about. We're pretty excited about your tattoo there. Brand new. Let's take a look at that.
Wow. Hey, this was done by a local artist on Colfax at ADD, named Zez. The guy was amazing. I told him, I said, look, I got 2 days to get in the cannabis cup. I don't have tickets. I got the, let's just start emailing High Times while we do the tattoo and see what happens. They gave me tickets. And like I told High Times, I don't care if I get in or not. It's just a matter of, you know, I'm 42. I'm 42. For 20 years, I've had their script come into my mailbox. I can honor it with a damn tattoo.
Right on, man. Good work.
This is Grey Wolf of 420radio.org. We're walking around the Cannabis Cup right now in Denver, Colorado.
All right, appreciate it.
How's it going?
.org.
Hi, how you doing? CannabisClothing.com. Thank you very much.
Walking past the High Times booth. Let's mosey out to the medicating area. Everybody's having a great time. Hello, I'm with 420radio.org. How do you feel about the first High Times Cannabis Cup in Denver, Colorado? Guess he didn't want to be on camera. Getting close to the Amendment 64 area. Signing off. 420radio.org.
Hey,
how does it feel to be
Roses,
at,
LA?
Hey, what? How does it feel to be at the very first U.S. Cannabis Cup?
Hey, man, it's beautiful, and the weather. I mean, I was a little worried, you know, come from Los Angeles. I was like, man, you know, what am I packed, you know? But I'm loving it, man, and seeing all the people that came out, you know, it's a great thing. We got to come out and support these kinds of events, and it's just friendly, good competition, and you know, it's been a good time, man. I'm happy with it, definitely. So, we, you know, we're obviously in the competition. We entered our Girl Scout cookies, kosher kush, strawberry cough, and a lemon OG water hash. And, you know, main thing with Buds and Roses LA is we grow veganically with Kyle Cushman. So, we definitely, we're a medical cannabis cup, our collective. So, it's beautiful though. It's a great time, and I'm loving everyone that we've been meeting so far. For sure.
Thanks for
been enjoying it.
Yeah.
Been good for you, getting a lot of good feedback, and a lot of good interaction.
And then we have
some other girls.
I got one guy that didn't want to talk to me.
Oh, no, it's all good. We love it. That's what we're about, man. I mean, we're out there on the front line. I mean, L.A. sitting there every day in our collective. I mean, fighting them for trying to ban us every day. So but when we get to do stuff like this, it's worth it.
How did you feel about Prop 19?
Prop 19? I'm just, you know, I'm in support of just getting stuff passed and amending later and just getting this move, not fighting each other. I mean, but you know, I'm a grower. I'm gonna stay in the grow room. I'm gonna leave the politics to the people that know that better than me. But I'm definitely for legalization and however we get that done. You know, California, we're getting, you know, a lot of people are getting the jump on us now. You know, we've been doing this for a while. And, but it's good. I really believe in what we're doing in LA and overall. So it's all about wellness. You know. So,
thanks for the interview.
Yeah, man. No worries. Have a good time.
Yeah.
Good meeting you.
This is 420radio.org. And Gray Wolf speaking. We got Tim from John Doe Radio. What do you think about having the first High Times U.S. Cannabis Cup in Denver, Colorado?
It's pretty amazing. I can't believe how many people are here. I knew there was going to be a lot of people, but it's absolutely mind-numbing how many people are actually here today. But it's cool. It's fantastic to be able to do this in Colorado. Colorado leading the way. I think we're going to be leading the way for a long time to come. And I hope this becomes a bigger and bigger event every year. It's fun.
Anytime my tits snuck in hell, I see the wrist up. Living it up. Y'all living it up in Colorado today, right?
Okay, we got a lot more free shit to give away.
Something else. Literally, the what you saw outside John Doe and all those guys talking in the sun was the day before.
Yeah, it's like 12 hours.
12 hours previous. And then it was 25 and snowed out. It was amazing. But we'll never forget the first U.S. Cannabis Cup. Big thanks to Grey Wolf for a lot of that footage. I got to find out who that old guy dancing was. I love him. Hey, when we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant. Going to talk a little bit about the ONDCP's drug strategy for 2013. This is the Russ Belville Show. Right back.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. I don't know what this says about the online audience, but the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So.
Nearly 1 million lives wrecked by a marijuana arrest every year, Mr. President. Politely tell President Obama what you think about legalization by calling the White House at 202-456-1111.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, it's that time again where the ONDCP and the DEA need to justify their existence. And so the Office of National Drug Control Policy's drug strategy for 2013 has just been released. And, it's so pretty. They give you all sorts of interesting... I'll give you a look at the website here. This is the website. And you can see, we have a judge who's hugging a man who's obviously, you know, must be a drug user who's been helped with a drug court somehow. What a great policy we have to help these people out, right? So that's the way they're going to sell it to you folks. And, you know, my job here is to poke holes in it. Although I do have to admit, there are a couple of things that we can point to in President Obama's drug control strategy that are positives. So it's not all doom and gloom here. So listen closely. There might be some surprises. First of all, I want to address some points that are made on the ONDCP's announcement for this on that page I was just looking at. And just a couple of stats they throw at you as if, you know, these things are, you know, truth. In 2007 alone, illicit drug use cost our nation more than $193 billion in lost productivity, health care, and criminal justice costs. All right, so let's think about that for just a moment here. The criminal justice costs, a lot of those have to do with the fact that we criminalize people who use drugs. So you can't be dropping the cost of your own policy into the discussion of why we should continue your own policy. That's your fault. Productivity and healthcare. Well, let's talk about the productivity one. This is a nice slippery stat they like to throw at you. And how they come up with these numbers for productivity, folks, is they take a look at the lifetime income, lifetime earnings of people who do not use marijuana versus the lifetime income and earnings of people who do use marijuana. Well, surprise. Pot users generally make less money. Why? Because we get P-tested for all the best jobs. Because we get discriminated against in hiring. Has nothing to do with our ability. It has everything to do with having to take underemployment or different employment in order to survive and to forego the full opportunity of income that would be available to us if we weren't discriminated against. I'm sure if you went back to 1930s and looked at the stats there, as far as how well Irish people were doing, it might be lower as well. Has nothing to do with being Irish. Has a lot to do with discrimination. Has a lot to do with which jobs for which they could apply. And this healthcare issue. The illicit drug use cost our nation all this money because of the healthcare issues. We all know that we're talking illicit drug use. We're mostly talking about marijuana use. And if you want to reduce healthcare costs, give people a chance to treat themselves with cannabis medicine instead of spending all that money on the healthcare for all those other pharmaceutical drugs. We'll come back to those in a moment. Another statement they make in the opening, nationwide, drug-induced overdose deaths now surpass homicides and car crashes as the leading cause of injury death in America. Now, this is one of those distractions where if you don't realize that homicides and car crashes have declined drastically, it sounds like a big deal. Car crashes have declined a great deal. We've made our roads safer. We've made our cars safer. So the deaths in car crashes have gone down. Homicides have also gone down. But let me give you this little chart that will show you those drug-induced deaths. This is a chart of all the drug-induced overdose deaths in America from 1999 to 2010. And you can see that they've roughly doubled. And that doubling is almost completely fueled by unintentional self-harm from pharmaceuticals, otherwise known as people taking pharmaceutical medications advertised on their TV, ask your doctor about Damitol, and accidentally dying from them. This little tiny line you see at the top, that's your deaths from cannabis, mescaline, LSD, opium, mushrooms combined. It's a line compared to the huge green swath of pharmaceutical deaths and the nice blue streak of alcohol deaths and the strong purple tinge of cocaine deaths and the red from heroin and the orange from narcotics and the yellow from psychostimulants. And cannabis can't hardly even be seen on this chart. Now, part of the Obama strategy here is built primarily on the rhetoric of Kevin Sabet, who I have studied intensely for the past year. And they always want to point back to the science. They want to seem to be the ones that are promoting a scientific, well-researched, logical, neutral sort of tone here. And the statement that comes from Gil Kerlikowske that's so offensive: drug policy reform should be rooted in neuroscience, not political science. It should be a public health issue, not just a criminal justice issue. That's what a 21st century approach to drug policy looks like. No, you should be taking the word just out of there. It should be a public health issue, not a criminal justice issue. You put one too many words in that statement. And as far as drug policy reform being rooted in neuroscience, not political science, it is the political doctrine, it is the actual regulation that defines Gil Kerlikowske's job that prevents him from placing drug policy reform into neuroscience and basing it on neuroscience. The Office of National Drug Control Policy sets that the director, that would be you, Gil, must oppose any attempt to legalize for any purpose any drug that is in the Schedule I, and we all know that means marijuana. You are required by the very definition of your job to root your drug policy reform in political science. As we continue, it gets into a section that they call Drug Policy 101. And I'll just read the paragraph to you because Kevin Sabet probably wrote it. While law enforcement will always play a vital role in protecting our communities from drug-related crime and violence, hold on, let's stop at that comma. This assumes that for the rest of American drug policy, law enforcement will always play a vital role. We have no intention on never treating you like citizens who use drugs, and some of you might have a medical condition. You will always be treated as criminals. And protecting our communities from drug-related crime and violence, what is it that creates the drug-related crime and violence? While you're thinking about that, try and remember how many shootouts you've seen lately between Corona and Dos Equis, and get back to me. After the comma, they say, offensively enough, we simply cannot incarcerate our way out of the drug problem. I couldn't agree more, so knock it off. Stop incarcerating people. Put simply, an enforcement-centric war on drugs approach to drug policy is counterproductive, inefficient, and costly. Great, so stop it. At the other extreme, drug legalization also runs counter to a public health and safety approach to drug policy. Really? So where's that part in here that bans alcohol and tobacco? We wouldn't want to have a public health and safety approach to alcohol and tobacco that treats it different than drugs, would we? Oh, right. Alcohol and tobacco are strong cultural things that people have used for millennium, and for some reason that makes the most dangerous and addictive and toxic drugs okay. All right. It continues. The more Americans use drugs, the higher the health, safety, productivity, and criminal justice costs we all have to bear. Well, again, you can't lump the criminal justice costs in. That's your policy. Health, safety, and productivity. Our workplaces have never been safer. Our roadways have never been safer. Crime is at its lowest levels ever, and the American workers are producing more goods and wealth per hour of work than ever measured. Health, safety, productivity are the best they've ever been. Looking for a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. Now, they continue in this Drug Policy 101 to talk about how we're going to use rehab. We need treatment and rehab and prevention, right, to stop us from using drugs. They cannot accept that some adults will just like to use drugs. Some adults like to climb Mount Everest. Some adults like to jump out of planes with flying squirrel suits on and come within feet of the mountains that they are plunging past. Some people like to swim with sharks. Some people like to hunt elk. And some people like to drop acid. What harm from all of those groups could there be? And whatever it might be, let's find a way to mitigate it. We've seemed to have found a way to allow people to hurl their bodies out of planes when, you know, they could fall on people, they could land in places, but we've found places for them to do it and ways for them to train and people they can register and rules they can follow, and we'll let people hurl their bodies out of planes for a rush. We can't accept that for marijuana, huh? All right, let me get to one point. I did want to make some points that are definitely need to be covered here. Supporting programs like screening, brief intervention, and referral to treatment, we can promote healthy lifestyles, prevent addictive disorders from taking hold, and reduce the number of people entering the criminal justice system. What this means is they want to start getting the doctors, your regular family doctors, to start evaluating whether you got a drug problem. And if you do, off to rehab you go. Today, about 22 million. And then they followed up with this, amazingly enough. Today, about 22 million Americans need treatment for a substance abuse disorder, yet only 2 million, about 1 in 10, actually receive the treatment they need. Well, gosh, maybe if you weren't screening, briefly intervening, and referring us pot smokers to treatment, there'd be some beds there for the meth addicts and the alcoholics. But let's close with a little bit of good news. There is something good in Obama's policies here. Through the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare by some people, insurance companies will be required to cover treatment for addiction just as they would cover any other chronic disease. And as a son of an alcoholic who had to find a way to pay for inpatient detox and 30-day recovery in a hospital situation, and back in the late 70s when the insurance companies wouldn't do that kind of stuff, I will give you credit for that. Let's have people who actually have a problem and actually need treatment, let's find a way to fund that. I'm with you there. So maybe there's some room for us to learn from each other. Hour two, we're going to tell you how everything you tried in 2013, you tried in 2010, and it didn't work then either. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. Take a seat, you manage, you grow it, you giant, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you manage, you grow it, you giant, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you manage, you grow it, you giant, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.